Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314. And before we get into the message, let me just say to everybody who calls this their church home, welcome home. We love being with you. This is my favorite day and my favorite place to be on my favorite day, doing my favorite thing, which is worshiping my God with my favorite people. I love this place. I hope that you will be blessed today. For all of our guests that are here today, I hope that you're going to be able to find a church that loves to have fun, that is extremely authentic and real. What you see is what you get. I also pray that you're going to experience something today that you're like, I'm not even sure what that is. There's something that I don't know. I can't place my finger on that. You're experiencing something. What I believe that experience is this, is that you are experiencing Jesus today, that you're experiencing the power and the presence of God today. That's what my prayer is for you, is that you're going to find a place that has fun, that loves to be real and authentic, and you're going to experience God. And let me tell you something. If you are a guest and that's the kind of church that you have been looking for, let me just say this. Welcome home. That's who we are. That's what we'd love to do, and we'd love to be able to have you be a part of that. So during this time, we're in this series, a four-week series that we're calling The Vow. We have been talking about relationships. We have been talking about marriages. And during this series, we have been talking about four specific vows that we are going to take. We are in week three of this series. And I will tell you, this is something that is very important to our church, that we talk about marriages and that we talk about relationships. And here's the reason why I believe that it's important. Because when I look at the culture and the world that we are living in, I don't know about you, but I see too many hurting and struggling marriages. And I got to tell you something, it's not okay with me. Like, I do not believe that it is okay to be in a struggling and hurting marriage. I don't think that anybody says, you know what, I would love, when someday when I grow up, I want to meet that special somebody, and then I just want us to fight all the time. Right? Like, nobody says that. I don't think it's okay for us to be in that situation. More importantly, this, I don't believe that it is God's plan for us to be there. I don't believe that it's God's plan for us. He's not okay with struggling and hurting marriages, with struggling, hurting relationships. That's why we're intentional about talking about it. So we've been talking about four specific vows during this series. Week one, we started off with the vow of priority. We made this promise. We said this, I promise in my marriage that God will be my first priority and my spouse will be my next. It starts with our priority list, and it starts with our priority being God first, and our spouse is next, and everything else flows from that. And when we follow that priority list, man, I got to tell you what, that sets a strong foundation for the rest of our marriages. Last week, we talked about the vow of partnership. We said this, I promise that my marriage is going to be more about we than about me. It's not just about my needs, it's about both of us together. We made the vow of partnership. This week we're going to be talking about the vow of pursuit. It's going to be a fun message today. I hope you came ready, buckled up, and we're going to go on a little roller coaster ride about talking about the vow of pursuit. And then next week we're going to be wrapping things up with the vow of purity, which I believe is going to be the most challenging vow for us. We do not live in a culture that values purity. We don't live in a culture that pushes us towards purity. It's a very important vow for us and is also going to be extremely challenging for us. But today, we're in that number three that you see right there, the vow of pursuit. Let me ask you this question. How many of y'all want a strong marriage in here today? Anybody want to be able to say, yes, I want a strong marriage in here today? I love that. Now let me ask you this question. How many of you would love to be able to say, I want to be able in a lifeless, non-passionate marriage? Anybody want to, I saw a hand on there, like, we'll have a conversation later, right? Like, but how many of you would say that you want to be in a passionate, loving, heat-filled marriage? Anybody say that today? Anybody want to be in a marriage kind of like that? Both my hands are up, okay? Like I see some waving going on over there. That's what I'm talking about. That man is with me on that one. We're talking about bringing passion into our relationship. We're talking about bringing some heat into our marriages. Let me ask you this question. How many of you, think back to when you were dating, or maybe if you are dating even right now, how many of you would say that you have done something crazy and ridiculous for love? Anybody be willing to, like, I see one going up, like, yes, I did. Don't ask me what it was, right? Like, but many of us have done something crazy and ridiculous for love. I've got a friend of mine who is my college roommate, and I was in his wedding party, and so we're at the rehearsal dinner, you know, and everybody's talking, and they're giving speeches and all that kind of stuff, and so the bride stands up, you know, and she's like, I just want to say thank you to everybody being here, blah, 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 and so much to my future husband, and the moment I fell in love with you was when you begin to send me all of these love poems, and all... Man, I tell you what, all of his friends, myself included, we were like, poems? What are you talking about poems over there, right? And he's like, do not talk about the poems. I'm gonna hear about this for the rest of my life from these guys. Like, how many men in here would admit to having a poet's soul? Anybody want to admit that, right? Yeah, right, you guys, whatever, man. Like, not many of us want to admit to having a poet's soul, these guys in here, but we've all done something crazy for love. We've all done something ridiculous for love. My wife, who's sitting right up here, my wife, when we were dating, one of the things that she still values today is quality time. She wants to be able, how many of you would say quality time? I want to spend time with my loved one, right? Like, quality time is a big one for her. She just wants to stare into these beautiful blue eyes. That's what she wants to do all day long. And who can blame her, all right? Like, man, we have some fun around here. It's going to be a fun message today. I'm just letting you know. Get excited about it. It's going to be some fun roller coaster ride for us. But she just loves to spend quality time with me. And that happened when we were dating, too. And so when we were dating, she wanted to spend time with me. But here's the reality is that we lived on opposite sides of the city that we were in. I lived on the far north side, and she lived on the far south side of the city that we were in. And I'm so thankful that we didn't live in Phoenix at that time, because that's a long drive up to Surprise, okay? Like, I'm not sure if we would have made it, all right, babe? But luckily, we weren't that far, but it was far enough. Like, it was like a 45-minute drive at times. It would bump up to an hour when traffic was really rough. And again, she wanted to spend time with me. And here's when she really loved to spend time with me. So the year that we were dating, she was wrapping up her schooling as well as myself, and she was in her student teaching, which what student teaching means is this, is that you go to school every day and you help teach students and you don't get paid for it, all right? Like, that's what that means. And so she was in the middle of that, basically just a regular work day. For myself, I was finishing up my last year of college, and most of my classes were all in the morning, and then my afternoon was much more flexible. So what she loved to do is she loved it when I was at her apartment when she got off of work. When she was coming home from school, she just loved it when I was there. Well, again, the problem is that this is a long drive, and there's some traffic that is going on, and I'm like, I'm a poor college student, and I'm looking at all the gas that I'm putting in here, and I'm like, $1.50 a gallon is expensive at that time, right? Like, that's what I'm thinking. How many wish you go back to $1.50 a gallon, right? Like, that's what it was, though, but I was willing to do whatever it took short of sinning to be able to let this woman know how much I loved her. I was going to make that drive. We have all done something crazy for love before. Some of you might have a story like mine, or you got a poet's soul, or maybe you spent money on some concert tickets of some band that he just loves so much, or you took a hot air balloon ride or something, you know? Like, you've all done something crazy for love, because here's the reality, is that by nature, for all of us, by nature, we pursue what we don't have. By nature, we pursue what we do not have. But then what happens when we have it? What happens when all of a sudden it's right there for us, it's right in front of us, and we have it? See, all of a sudden things seem to change a little bit, don't they? See, when we're dating and when we're in that relationship, man, we're going after it. We are pursuing what we don't have, but then something shifts. Why is it that we're in struggling relationships at times? Why is it that we're in struggling marriages? And it's because we've stopped pursuing. We've stopped putting work into the relationship. So here's the promise that we're going to make this morning. If you've got your notes right in front of you, it's this. I promise that I will always pursue my spouse. I promise that I will always pursue my spouse. Everybody say, always pursue. I promise that I will always pursue my spouse, that I will always put the work into our relationship, that I always put the work into our marriage. See, we wonder why we're in struggling relationships at times, but we look at the things that we're doing in our marriage, and the reality is this, is that we're not doing anything at all. Why is it that we're in struggling relationships at times? I'm going to tell you this. It's because we get lazy. We get lazy in our relationship. We think that our relationship, hey, you know what? I said I love you one time and I'll let you know if anything changes, right? Like, of course that doesn't work. You got to work at your relationship. Let me ask you this question. How many things in your life can you be lazy at and see them improve? You can't be lazy in anything else and see it improve. You can't be lazy with your body and see yourself get in shape. You can't sit on the couch eating pizza and Doritos and expect to get in shape. Can I get an amen on that, right? Like, I wish it could happen, but it doesn't work that way. You got to put the work into it to be able to get in shape. Look at your business. How many of you can get lazy in your business and then see it succeed? No, you've got to work at it. You got to work at your management skills, at your leadership skills. You got to work at your financial life to be able to see that succeed. How about this example? We live in Arizona, except for this past week, which it was like Seattle, wasn't it? But we live in Arizona, and we know this about our yards. We got to put constant work into our yards, right? We got to be able to pull some weeds. We got to put the spray down on our yards. We got to put pre-emergent down and then weed killer when it comes across. Because the reality is this, in Arizona, the only thing that really grows without work are weeds, isn't it? Isn't that true? Like, the stuff that we want to grow, you got to cultivate it. You got to trim it up. You got to water it. You got to put some work into that yard. Because if you don't, it's going to go to pot. How many things in this life can you work at to see them improve and just be lazy about it? It doesn't happen. You got to put work into your relationship. You've got to always pursue your spouse. It doesn't stop once we have that person. It continues on. There's going to be a powerful biblical story that we're going to be able to see this unfold. See it unfold, how we pursue while we're dating, and then how we continue to pursue even when we're married. But before we get there, I want to be able to say this to all of our single people. All of our single people that are in here today, and you hope that someday you will be married. Maybe if you're in a dating relationship right now or going into a dating relationship, here's what I want you to be able to do. I want you to be able to evaluate relationship. And maybe you need to even reevaluate it right now. Because if you're dating and that person that you're with isn't pursuing you, you're in some serious trouble. Again, by nature, we pursue what we don't have and we want. And so if they're not pursuing you, if they're not showing you how special that you truly are, you need to reevaluate it. You need to reevaluate it. I'm just going to say that right now, because here's the reality is this. Ladies, if the guy that you are with is not pursuing you, and we pursue what we don't have and what we want, maybe he doesn't want you. Stop putting all of your energy into a relationship that he doesn't want you. Guys, if you are in a relationship and you are pursuing that special someone and you're doing something that's a big deal and she doesn't act like it's a big deal, it might be because she doesn't believe that you're a big deal. Now, let me say this to all of our single people, guys and girls. Let me say this. You are worth pursuing. You are special, and God has created you that you are worth pursuing. Don't settle for somebody who doesn't want to pursue you. Don't settle for somebody who doesn't want you. Don't settle for somebody who doesn't think that you're a big deal. God believes you're a big deal because you are a big deal. Don't settle. Come on, somebody. That's good stuff right there. That's what you need to hear. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. We're ready to have some fun. Now, here's the biblical story of what this looks like for us to be in pursuit and for us to always pursue the person that we're going to be with. We're going to talk about a story of a man named Jacob. Everybody say Jacob. Jacob's kind of a big deal. In fact, we hear this in the Bible. It says that God, the God that we serve, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so this is the Jacob that we are talking about. He is the son of Isaac. He's the grandson of Abraham, the father of our faith. And so Jacob's kind of a big deal. And when he was younger, he wasn't married yet. And his mom and dad said, hey, it's time for you need to get on out the house. You need to get married, okay? So they sent him on this journey for him to find his future spouse. And as he's on this journey, he comes to this well. He comes to this place, and the well's a significant place because that's where many people would gather right outside of the city. So he goes to the well, or another thing, that he's going to the club, right? Like, so he's going to the well, the place where all the single people go to mingle, okay? That's where he's going. So he goes to the well, and he sees the most beautiful woman he's ever seen in his life. He sees this woman named Rachel. And when he sees Rachel, man, it is love at first sight. Because I got to tell you something, this is such a powerful story. I love the way that the Bible explains things to us, that it speaks to us in a real and authentic way. So Rachel is this amazing woman that he sees. Rachel has a sister. So we're going to see another couple people come into the story. We're going to see Rachel's dad, his name is Laban, come into the story. We're also going to see Rachel's older sister, Leah, come into the story. And so Jacob sees Rachel. He falls in love with Rachel. He wants to marry Rachel. And so he goes and he has a conversation with Rachel's dad, Laban, and this is how the story begins to unfold. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And the Bible's about to get real to us right here. Here's how he explains these two people. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. All right, let me explain to you what that said right there, all right? It says this. It says that Rachel is beautiful and lovely, and Leah had a good personality. That's what it's saying right there. That's what it's saying right there. I love the Bible. It is fantastic. You should read it sometime. It's really good stuff that is in there. It explains these individuals as saying, man, Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely figure and was beautiful. And who does Jacob fall in love with? He falls in love with Rachel. So he goes to Laban and he said, man, what do I need to do to marry this woman? I want to marry Rachel. I love her so much. I'm willing to do anything. I want to go crazy, ridiculous to show this woman how much I love her. I want to marry her. So he has a conversation with Laban, and Laban says, okay, here's what we need to do. You're going to go ahead and you're going to work for me for 7 years. And at the end of those 7 years, then you can marry my daughter. And this is how it plays out. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel. And then I love this. But they seem like only a few days to him because of his love for her. He did something crazy and ridiculous for the love of his life. He was willing to pursue her, and he did it with a joyful heart. He was ready to go crazy and do something ridiculous for love. That's why it's inside of us. We do that even today, that when we're in that dating relationship, man, we're willing to do. Our poet's soul is getting ready to sing out, right? Like, we're ready to do something crazy. That's what Jacob was doing as well. But then all of a sudden, at the end of the 7 years, he's like, okay, I'm ready to get married. This is our agreement. And now, again, I love the way that the Bible explains this. It speaks to my heart as well. This is what it says here at the end of the 7 years. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. My time is complete, and I want to make love to her. All right? Like, we know where Jacob's mind is at. This speaks to my soul. I don't know of any men out there that can relate with me, but this is where I'm at. Like, I was ready to get married, okay? This is where Jacob is as well. So then all of a sudden, this scene that we see, it turns into a soap opera. Like, it's like Days of Our Lives come to life right here. The Bible is crazy at times. And so this is what plays out. This is how it plays out in Genesis 29. This is the history that we have. It says this, that all of a sudden at the wedding time, so the wedding comes and they're getting married. And you know, today we have, like, there's different ways that ladies dress for weddings, but a lot of times, they have the veil, right? Like, there's a veil that they put over. Well, let me tell you, back in the day, they were all veiled up. Like, you didn't see anything. They were all veiled up. And so Laban does a little switcheroo. Laban does a little switcheroo that Jacob thinks he's getting ready to be married to Rachel, but Laban puts Leah in that position. And they go and they have the wedding, and now all of a sudden, Jacob is married to Leah instead of Rachel. What just happened? Like, he's like, "What? This is not what we agreed to. I am not okay with this because my eyes are weak from looking at her, okay? Like, this is not what I plan for the rest of my life, all right?" And so Laban says this. He says, "Hey, you know what? Here in our custom, it is custom for the older daughter to get married before the younger." Basically saying, "Look, I saw no chance for her to get married, so that's why I did this, all right? Like, you've seen her, all right?" Like, I just love the way the Bible tells this story. It's fantastic. And so they're sitting there, and he's like, "Hey, okay, look, that's fine. I'm married, and I'm going to honor this, but at this time there was multiple marriages." And so he said, "What do I need to do to get married to the love of my life? I want to marry Rachel." And so Laban says, "Well, you owe me another 7 years. You did 7 years for the one, you owe me another 7 years for this one." And a lot of times for people who know this story a little bit, we think to ourselves that Jacob had to work another 7 years and then get married. But that's not how it played out. In fact, at the very end of that, the honeymoon and all that kind of stuff, then Laban allowed Jacob to marry Rachel. And then he worked for 7 years with a joyful heart. He got married, he had what he wanted, and he continued to work at it. He continued to pursue. He will always pursue his spouse. Everybody say, always pursue. Always pursue. We need to be in an attitude that we will always pursue our spouse. We've got to be able to work at these relationships. And so what I want to do today is I want to be able to talk to these relationships. I want to be able to talk to these marriages today. For those of you that are single in here today, this can be your future relationship. It's the promise that you make that for my future spouse that I will always pursue my spouse. And so I want to give you three basic tools for you to be able to be in pursuit of your spouse today. Three basic tools for you to work at your relationship. Number one is this: when you think something good, say it. When you think of something good to your spouse, say it. Open up your mouth and let the words fly, all right? Don't keep it to yourself. If you think something good, say it. Look at what Hebrews 3:13 here says in context of marriages. But encourage one another when? Daily. Daily. Encourage each other. If you think something good, say it. As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You want to keep lies out of your relationship? You want to be able to keep that intimacy that is there, the truthfulness? Encourage one another daily. When you think something good, say it out loud. Why would you steal the blessing of giving life to that statement to the other person? Don't do it. Open up your mouth and say something extremely kind. You want to continue to pursue by the words that we say. Now, the reality is this, is that we all hear and speak in different languages. And in fact, this is going to be kind of an overarching statement, but guys and girls, we need to be able to hear different things. There's different things that each of us need to be able to hear. And ladies, I'm going to talk to you first about how you speak to men, and then men, I'm going to talk to you about how you speak into women, how you're going to pursue in a powerful way. And ladies, I'm going to talk to you first because ladies first, right? And I'm a gentleman. So that's just how we're going to do it. How do you need to be able to speak to the men in your life? How do you build them up and pursue them the way that they need to? Ladies, you need to be able to pursue them with words of affirmation. With words of affirmation. This is powerful to men. I'm going to give you a huge principle right here. Men are little puppy dogs. All right, we are. We are little puppy dogs. We might not want to admit it, but that's exactly what we are. We are little puppy dogs. This is how it plays out to us. If you, ladies, you say something good to us, "Oh, you did such a good job today." You know how we respond? "Oh, yeah, yeah." Daddy. And our tails just start wagging. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell me what I did that was good. I'm going to do it over and over and over and over and over again. Right? Like, that's how we respond. We want to be able to hear that. But then if you tell us the exact opposite, if you say, how could you? I can't believe that was a bad dog. You know what we do? Man, our tail between the legs, and we get into the corner. That's exactly how we respond. You know it to be true. That's why you're laughing, because you're like, that's so true, right? Like, we're like, I'm so sorry. I don't ever want to do it again. We're walking around like, That's how we respond. You want to be able to see a confident man, you're going to be able to show a woman right behind him who is speaking affirmation into his life. That's exactly how it plays out. That's exactly how it plays out. I'm going to tell you a little secret right now. Whenever I walk into any room, I walk into a room and here's what I always think. Dude, I'm the baddest man in here right now. You want to know why? Because my wife is constantly speaking life into me. She is constantly filling that. She is telling me how great. I will tell you, the words that mean the most to me in the entire world are this. Because this is something that I am passionate about leading a church, about being a pastor. I love preaching. And the thing that gets me going the most, the words that I love to hear the most, are when my wife says to me, you are my favorite preacher. I'm like, that's right, I am. Come on, somebody, right? Because she is filling me. Because here's what you need to know, is that men need to know how good they are. We want to feel like we are bringing value to the world. And ladies, that's how you pursue your spouse. That's how you pursue your husband, is by continuing to speak words of affirmation into his life. Now, some of you in here right now, you're like, well, that's just not... He's pretty worthless. I don't know how I'm supposed to do that, you know? Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. You find the smallest little thing and you continue to build him up. The smallest little thing. And I'm going to tell you, this is so powerful, especially when it comes to your spiritual life. Especially when it comes to your husband leading the spiritual tone in your home. You want to be able to see your husband stand up in a spiritual level. Next time you're like, oh, he just doesn't want to come to church, and it's so hard to get him to church. One time, if he says, hey, I think we should go to church. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And then later on, you say this. I got to tell you, I've never felt so close to you as when you said that. I just loved it so much. Watch what happens. Maybe you're sitting in a place where, like, I just never hear my husband pray at all. I would love to be able to hear him pray for our family, for me, for just everything that we have. I never hear my husband pray at all. And then maybe a Thanksgiving comes around, and you're all sitting around the table, the whole family sitting around there, and then all of a sudden he says something like this, like, how about we all pray? You know, and then he doesn't know the prayer, so he's like, rubber-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, amen, right? But instead of getting negative towards him in that, don't get negative towards him, because then he's going to run in the corner with his tail between his legs. Instead, here's how you can play this out. You want to be able to build up the spiritual life of your husband. Here's how that's going to play out. Later on, while you're sitting there, maybe like he's doing the dishes or something, why don't you come up, get real close to his ear. Get real close and start, and just whisper into his ear. Hey, you know when you prayed earlier? Oh my goodness. Wow. And then just sit there. You're going to watch that boy pray. He's going to be like, I'm going to pray a little bit longer next time. I'm going to pray a little bit louder next time. Why don't you see how many times he's going to be able to pray when you speak affirmation into his life that way? I'm going to tell you something. You see a confident man, you are going to see a woman behind him who is speaking affirmation into his life. You need to pursue your husband with words of affirmation. Men, everybody in here, how do we pursue our wives with our words? We need to pursue our wives with words of affection. We need to be able to pursue our wives with words of affection. And not just in physical affection. Not just in a way that you're like, oh, hey, you know, a little something, something right there. Not just in that way. They need to know how much you truly love them and adore them. And some of you are like, what other kind of affection is there, right? Like some of the guys in here are like, I don't even, what does that look like? I don't even know how that plays out. Why? Because we're guys, right? Like that's just what it is. And any guy in here can turn it into a little bit of physical attraction, right? Like that's what we do, right? Like how does it play out? Like maybe you hear this. Your wife says, hey, babe, we need to go rotate the tires. Oh, I'll rotate your tires. Right? Like, it's a gift that we have, isn't it? Right? Like, hey, babe, could you help me do a load of laundry? Oh, I'll do a load of laundry. Right? Like, it's just a gift that we have. We're not perverts. We're just guys. That's just how it is. But guys, I got to tell you something. You need to be able to speak affection into your wife in a very loving manner. Let me give you an example of how this played out. In our house just this past week. Because again, we moved to Seattle this week. I don't know what happened. I do not care. I love the rain. I know that we need the rain. I love the rain. I love it when it comes during the middle of the night. And then I wake up and it's a sunny day. And even that's why I moved to Arizona. Some of you are like, no, I loved it this week. Well, that's fine for you. All right. But this is me. Just indulge me for a second. All right. So this is what happened though, is that one of the days, I don't remember which day that it was, but you know that with the rain and the gloomy day that it brings a little bit of humidity with it too, right? Everybody understand that? If we're on the same page with that. And how many ladies know that humidity, it plays havoc on your hair? Anybody know that, right? Like, you're like, oh, now I'm on the same page with you, Pastor, right? So there was one day that Jenny, she curled her hair all up, looked gorgeous, looked beautiful. And she woke up the next morning and she said, all this humidity, look at this, I got no curls left. Usually it lasts a couple days. I just got these waves that are going on here. And you know what I did? I stopped what I was doing. I looked at her in the eye and I said, babe, I think it looks fantastic. And so you know what she did? She stopped and she came and gave me a hug. Oh, isn't that beautiful, right? Why? Because I didn't say, oh, it's fine. Oh, big deal, right? No, I stopped for a moment and I spoke words of affection into her life. I wasn't looking for anything. Just wanted to be able to speak affirmation, to continue to pursue my wife with words of affection. Men want to be valued. Women want to be loved. We pursue each other. If you think something good, say it. Say it. Number two is this. If you think something special, do it. If you think of something special to do, then do it. It's not hard. What I am giving you today is not rocket science, okay? I'm just trying to remind you to always pursue, that there's something missing in your relationship. The heat is gone. It's not like it used to. I'm trying to remind you, it's time to pursue our spouse. If you think about something special to do, then just simply do it. James 4:17, again, in light and in context of marriage, says this, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do, you thought of something special, and then you don't do it, it's like sin. You're withholding something amazing that could be part of your relationship. If you think of something special, then just do it. I got to tell you something. I'm bragging on my wife today because we're talking about relationships, and my wife is just killing it. This past December, she planned something amazing. It blew me away. So she told me a couple weeks beforehand, she said, hey, I want you to go ahead and block out that day. Block out your calendar, block out your birthday. I just want to be able to do something special. And I'm like, all right, cool, I can do that. And so I blocked it out, woke up that morning, she took the boys to school, and I got ready, and so I'm all ready for the day. I don't know what she's gonna do, go to see a movie or something, right? Like, which is great, I'd love to be able to do that. And so she gets home, and I'm like, hey, babe, I'm all ready. And she said, oh, no, you're not. You gotta go pack a bag, because I'm gonna take you to a resort tonight. And I was like, oh, come on, somebody. Like, you got a sitter for the boys? It's just the two of us? Yes, let's make this thing happen. And so I ran upstairs, right? Like, I'm like, I'm going to get a bag. You got a bag? Let's get these bags together, right? Like, I'm putting all this stuff together inside of these bags. And then you know what she did? She began to invest into me about the things little passions that I have. She said, "Hey, I'm gonna indulge you." And so you know what she did that day? She took me to 4 different sneaker shops. Come on, somebody. That's how much my wife loves me. I love sneakers, and she took me to 4 different sneaker spots that day, right? Like some of you are like, "What's the big deal about that?" Here's the big deal about that is that I'm interested in it, and so she took me to something that I'm interested in. And here's the deal. Whenever we went into one of those places, do you know what she did? She was like, "Oh, great, another one." No, she didn't do that. She was like, "So what is it in here? Do you see something that you like? What do you want to be able to do in here? Tell me about this one." And she looked like she was genuinely interested. Let me tell you something. She does not care that much about sneakers, all right? But that day, she was a little bit of a sneakerhead. And I was just blown away because she thought of something special and she was indulging me. If you think of something special, do it. Just do it. I know some of you in here right now, you're like, "Well, I'd love to be able to bring my wife flowers, but we just don't have the budget right now," right? We come up with excuses all the time. We come up with excuses of why we're not doing something special. "Oh, it's great for you. You got to go to a resort." We don't have time in our calendar to do that. We all have excuses, right? We can come up with excuse after excuse after excuse. But let me tell you something. It's not, love will make a way. If you truly love that person, you're going to come up with something. You don't have to make an excuse about it anymore. You're going to come up with something to do. You don't have to go to a resort, but maybe on your way home, you order takeout. You go pick it up. You get back over to the house, and you say, "Okay, whole family, let's pile into the car." And you go to a little park, and you have a nice night and a nice evening with your family. And what is that going to do to your spouse? All of a sudden, it's going to be like, "Hey, we're going to have a really nice evening together," because you're investing and you're continuing to pursue each other. If you think of something special to do, then just do it. And love is going to make a way. It's going to be special to that other person. You just have to continue to pursue the other person. You got to work at your relationship. I've never seen anything in this life that I've been lazy at that I've seen it improve. You've got to continue to work at your relationship. And here's the deal. I want some of you in here today, you're even sitting there, you're like, "That's not what my relationship's like." And you know what? I'd love to be able to do this, but this, you should see how much she nags me just over and over and over and over and over again. How am I supposed to pursue this? He's the laziest bum in the entire world. You know, he's just constantly yelling and bickering and screaming. How am I supposed to pursue this over here? Right? And you desperately want something different. Well, let me tell you something. If you want something different in your relationship, you need to go after it. It's up to you to go after it. It is up to you to go after it. It's not the other person that's got to change right away. If you don't like what you are getting out of your relationship, you need to look at what you are giving into it. If you want something different in your relationship, you need to go after it. You need to be the one that starts to bring the heat into the relationship. We have no passion anymore. We have no heat. I don't know where the intimacy has gone. If you want that in your relationship, you need to go after it. You need to be the one who is pursuing the other person. Don't expect them to be the one to change. You be the change into the relationship. This is the picture that I want you to have. What does it look like to pursue your spouse? This is the picture that I want you to have, all right? How many of you in here today, like you watch, anybody watch cop shows? Anybody watch cop dramas or anything like that? Right? Anybody ever seen one before? Anybody ever watched a cop show before? You've heard about a cop show. Anybody heard about a cop show? Goodness gracious, all right? Like, so you've heard about one before, right? Like, so this is kind of the scene that plays out a little bit. So you got the bad guys, and the bad guys are in there. They're going and robbing a bank or something like that. I don't know what it is. They're going and robbing a bank, and then they jump into the getaway car. Right? And then the sirens are going off. They're letting the cops know, "Hey, look, there's somebody just robbing a bank," whatever it is, like APB, you know, goes out on the radio. And then you got 2 cops that are sitting on their motorcycles just a couple of streets away. And they hear this on the radio, and then they see the car zoom past, right? So then how do they respond? How do they respond to this situation? They get in hot pursuit, don't they? All of a sudden, they just take off and they're raring off. And like now all of a sudden, you got an exciting car chase that is happening, right? You want to be able to see something exciting? Turn on one of those cop shows. It's not just a nice little pursuit that you're going along holding hands, you know? No, you are in hot pursuit. Everybody say hot pursuit. See, the reality is this, is that that word united in Hebrew, dabak, it can mean this. It means that you closely pursue. It means that that person is right there in front of you, and what do? You continue to pursue them. You go after them. You are in hot pursuit. Everybody say, hot pursuit. That's what God intends for your relationship. That's what God intends for your marriage to look like, to have heat, to have passion, to have intimacy inside of it, that it is something that you celebrate. You love your marriage. You want to be around this person all the time because you are in constant pursuit of them. Frankie and the team, you want to be able to come on up? That's what God has planned for you. That's the relationship that He has for you. Does anybody want to have a lifeless marriage? Of course not. You want to have excitement in your marriage. How do you bring excitement into your marriage? How do you bring passion into your marriage? How do you bring that heat back into it? You got to get in hot pursuit. You got to get in hot pursuit. And it's up to you to bring it to your relationship. It's up to you. Don't wait for the other person. Don't wait for them to do it. It's up to you. Be the change that you want to see. Be the change and go after it. If there's one thing that you remember today, if there's one thing that you take away, you say this: I'm ready to go in hot pursuit. Church, could you please stand with me today? You know, here's the reality. God intends for us to be in a relationship like that, in hot pursuit of each other. And you know why? Because the beautiful thing is, He is in hot pursuit of you. He loves you so much that He pursues after you every single day. He goes after you every single day. He wants to speak encouragement into you. That's why He has His scripture right there. He wants to be able to show you how special He is, that He sent His one and only Son for you, the most special thing that could ever happen. Why would we settle for anything less than when this is the example that God gives us for the relationships that we have here? Why do we stay in hot pursuit of each other? Because God is in hot pursuit of us. That is what He wants for us. That is the example that He has given for us. It's time for us to go into hot pursuit.